Okay, friends, welcome back to the show. I have an amazing guest ready for you here today. Her name is Natalie Dick. And like always, I want to start off by introducing my guest, and then we'll kind of take a journey together. So welcome, Natalie.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So good to have you. So you are a guide, I would say, for women. Like when I was looking through your website, to me too, you come across as an advisor, like a very mature, I feel like we do similar work. That's how I would kind of paint your story and your work is an advisor, a spiritual advisor for women who are exploring the depths of what you would call a spiritual awakening or a spiritual returning. And you can find more about Natalie at www.nataliedick.com. She's also on Instagram at I am Natalie Dick. And I want to be real with you. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because we followed each other for a while on social media.
Yeah.
And I've seen snippets of your journey. You can always kind of pick up on it, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen you walk through the fire.
Oh, I've been burning for a bit. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think you've seen parts of me in that fire, but there's a lot of other parts of me that I haven't expressed on social media too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, and let me give some context to our listeners. I mean, I've seen you go through divorce. I've seen you let go of certain creative endeavors or businesses that were more stepping stones. I've seen you come into your own as a feminine leader. A big part of this podcast is amplifying the feminine. So tell us a little bit about you, your story, what you do now. Sort of take us on that journey, because I've seen it.
Yeah.
But we want to get to know you and kind of where you're at now.
Okay. So are we going back quite a few years? Because
sure.
I think how we kind of got introduced or started following each other is through doTERRA. And
yep.
That was, like you said, a very beautiful stepping stone. But I mean, my whole journey into like where I am now and what I do and why I do it is, I mean, I started really trying to be in my, I was very in my masculine for many years, being in corporate, like really pushing, burning out. And once I left corporate, I got married, I had a child, I did personal training, did yoga teacher's training, did holistic nutrition, really went on a journey of the fixing in the physical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really fixing in the physical, because that's what I thought was necessary and what was healing. And, you know, on my journey, and I think when I had my son, this was when I became pregnant with George. That was the most, the first experience of the ultimate feminine energy that I had ever known. And it makes me emotional to think about that, because when I became pregnant, it was like, oh, I have no control over anything anymore. I can't, my body's just moving in this, expanding and doing its thing in the most like instinctual, natural way that I'd ever experienced. That was also really beautiful in that was that a lot of my trauma started coming up, memories that were deeply buried. And then I was like, became really fascinated with all of my physical ailments were manifestations of emotional trauma and blockages and energy. And that really started my journey from the, you know, holistic physical space of being working with women and digestion and hormones and really kind of correct in that way, ultimately fix. And what I always call it like the me search and the research, it, like my whole journey is everything that I teach, I've been through. I've had to learn firsthand for myself, because I mean, that's embodiment. You can't just learn, you can't just read something and then regurgitate it. That's knowledge is cheap, right?
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, I was in Montreal with my ex. We moved to Chicago for a couple of years, and I met an incredible human being, my mentor. His name's Kirk Hill. And he invited me into a three-year program called Advanced Psychosomatic Character Therapy. And it really helped me understand like the real depths of the energetics and how much we can heal in that space, and really working in the emotional body, the mental body, the higher level spiritual body. But then really when we start understanding ourselves in the most authentic way and kind of removing the blocks from the soul being expressed, that's the spiritual path, right? It's not about, making everything perfect and love and light, which I think we're going to get into that, like bypassing a lot of the spiritual community is very heavily focused on that. So I think, my journey has been very long, very long. After coming back from Chicago, going through the pandemic, everybody went through hell in their own unique way, but I went through a divorce in the same time, and I was very isolated in Montreal, and just, I've changed my business a lot, really went through the ups and downs of a divorce, and I'm now a single mom and starting to really feel kind of centered and grounded now. But for a long time, that it was a dark period, but at the same time I was still helping people. So yeah, that's my journey in the most linear logistical way. But I think for me, the biggest learning in those steps in my journey is really through surrendering and accepting.
Mm-hmm. And we'll definitely touch on that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important. I wanted to just reflect back something you said, because I think it's so huge right now in the spiritual space. And I don't think it's a trend. Like, we see trends come and go, right? But you talked about living your life in the masculine, and then you went into the fixing in the physical, and then you went into the ultimate feminine energy.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing is happening. I mean, it has been happening for a long time. I was totally not even seeing it when I was in the masculine. I actually used to look at the feminine as more like, how would I describe it? Like living in the clouds, or any women I knew who were super feminine. Oh. I was like, oh, they're so floaty. Like, what's the word I'm looking for?
They're yoga-y. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just not grounded. Right.
They're flaky.
Mm-hmm. I think I definitely had some judgments of what I would now.
For sure.
Yeah. Of my, I guess, experience of the feminine, because I had never been in that though, which is so wild. So I'm a part of a priestess training and a priestess lineage right now. And so I definitely resonate with what you're saying. For people who are listening and they're like, what the heck are they talking about? What's different when you approach healing from the feminine? Because I could hear someone maybe argue like, okay, aren't you still fixing? Aren't you still like, what's different? Because it is different.
Yeah. So I think there's, it's interesting because I got a lot of clients coming in, and I mean, I changed the way that I feel like I was like kind of coaching people before. And like after my program, I was really just holding the container, which is actually quite a masculine component. You've got to hold the container for healing, but you need both. Absolutely. But there is the desire to want to change that's coming from this masculine space of like, I need to change. I'm starting to become aware, because awareness is more masculine. But then from the feminine standpoint, it's like surrendering to what is, and the acceptance and allowing of your deep, painful moments to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's true alchemy. It's leaning in with like your heart, leaning in from such compassion and love for yourself, and not being afraid of the dark parts of yourself, and mm-hmm. just embracing and encompassing those parts of yourself that you typically would be cringy over or hate. It's actually befriending them and compassionately loving them and allowing the wholeness of you to kind of come back into alignment. That, mm-hmm. that to me is more of the feminine way of healing, where the separation that we see, where people just only want to experience, well, I don't want to feel fear. I don't want to feel scared or rage or whatever quote unquote negative emotion that you're experiencing. A lot of people don't want to do that work. They don't want to lean in to that darkness, right? And there really is, like, a lot of people will think that it has to be really hard. It has mm-hmm. to be a struggle. And that is where you're in resistance to it always. Like, you're trying mm-hmm. to force it or fix it mm-hmm. in a way that feels very masculine. But when you work in the feminine, you're not resistant to it. And when you're not in resistance to these really heavy things, or maybe you have really shitty circumstances in your life right now, if you're resisting it and you're trying to get somewhere else, that's getting controlling, and that's egoic, right? Yeah. Where when you come back to the softness and the surrendering and being like, okay, I'm here, I'm okay, I'm going to lean into this and I'm going to accept it that has such a different charge. It's not even a charge. It's like a softness, right? Like that to me is a true feeling when you can experience that in your body through the heart. Mm-hmm. It's like, damn, I can go through anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something that pinged me was when you talked about sort of wanting to avoid the struggle, but the feminine teaches that the struggle is actually innately a very important part of the soul's journey. And would you agree that I think for many years, like, life was pretty good? We've all been pretty privileged, many of us, the last few years. And so we were sort of pushed into, many people, I think, are pushed into that dark night of the soul. And then that's when they're forced to surrender to the feminine, and this very cyclical, I guess, perspective where there's a point, would you agree with me? Like, there's a point where you realize, oh, this is actually a part of it. Like, this is, so Carolyn Mace teaches from the perspective of different mystics that have come before us. And I think it's Saint Teresa of Avila. She's actually a Catholic mystic. Yeah. And she taught the journey of the soul. She wrote a book. I think it's called The Interior Castle, or The Interior Castle of the Soul. And what she teaches, and it's interesting because it's from her study of religion, which I appreciate, because oftentimes religion doesn't go here, right? Which is why many of us
those are kind of the roots of religion, right? Like, it's the old mystic, like the Gnostic.
The old mystic, yeah.
Yeah, the Gnostic teaching of religion has with so much wisdom in it.
So much wisdom. So I prefer that over just, like, I don't know, listening to a man speak on stage at Sunday mass. It just doesn't, like, hit
totally.
Me.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. But anyways, she teaches that the soul, when it incarnates, will go through, it's supposed to go through two dark night of the soul time periods. We are supposed to.
Yeah. It's the initiation.
So talk about it. Actually, that's what I wrote down. Do you believe that those dark periods, I literally are initiations? And can you share about a time, like, I know you mentioned your divorce, or how did you surrender to or learn to hold yourself through the intensity of it?
So, yeah, I think, absolutely. As a soul, we come in and we incarnate with lessons that we are supposed to learn from other lives that we never learned, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we've all been persecuted and been the persecutor. Like, we've played both roles. We've been the dark, we hold so much darkness from, and so much light, both. So whatever you incarnated.
Okay, can I just pause you there for a second?
Yeah.
Because I feel people be like, no. Like, that, tell me more, like, give us the depth. Tell me more about that. The persecute, say that again.
The persecutor and the persecuted. So when you think of like all the lives, I call them lifehoods. They're not past lives, or it's all happening at the same kind of time, right? Timelines. And when you have, you know, as a soul, we have done heinous things in other lives. We have done heinous things and we have been on the receiver end of heinous things. So we know both sides. And we have come and incarnated here in this lifetime at this very, you know, time in this time, that whatever you came here to learn, there is an overarching journey that you as a soul are taking. And so, yes, there are people that come into your world for a very specific reason. It's an energetic charge. It is for you to learn a lesson based on the internal landscape of your energy field and what you hold. That's a frequency. And you are needing to meet these people to come in and activate it so the wound can be healed. So you can actually alchemize, even on a soul level, on your, you know, your soul light body, on what you are meant to heal. Absolutely. So your question back, because I kind of went on a tangent. When you are initiated into deep, deep work, like it's the cooking process, you are cooked, and it is almost like this, such an unbearable feeling in your body, because you are being initiated to release the density, the trauma, the wounds that you have experienced, A, on a soul level, soul wounds. In this life, they're all kind of commingling together in your field. And it needs to be activated so that it gets cleared out of your body so you can actually express the true vibrancy of who you are. Does that make sense? So being initiated into, like, yes, divorce was a big initiation for me. And that was a space, actually, I'm going to say before that, when I was encountering my own trauma.
That was really harder.
Pardon?
That was harder, like, or deeper?
Deeper, because I was more unconscious at the time. I really didn't understand what was happening. I didn't have the languaging or the understanding to actually understand what was happening. So I felt like I was being pummeled and that the world was happening like outside of me. So it was a little bit more blame. But that initiation process really led me into the depths of why my trauma happened. And a lot, and I don't want to go into detail of what the trauma was, because I like to keep that for myself, but it really gave me a deeper understanding of pretty much every physical ailment that I ever had, like all the connecting pieces. And it launched me into this work, into my dharmic path. And sometimes this may trigger people. Sometimes we come earthside into situations choosing the trauma. That's a very hard thing to look at when you are in it. But our soul chooses this as a journey, because these wounds are the ones that activate us to the deeper parts of what we're supposed to do.
Okay. Something you said that really pinged me was that when you went through sort of this first dark night of the soul experience, where you were exploring personal traumas, it was more intense. And then perhaps the divorce or things that came later got easier, because you were able to understand what was happening. And right, because the same thing has happened for me, where you almost build resilience. It's not bypassing, but you build a resilience, a deeper connection to your body, a deeper connection to understanding how to explore what's going on. Like, I can sit and with my experience with yoga and meditation over the years. And now, you know, even things like Reiki and the priestess path and all of the skills I've developed, I'm able to actually sit. And most often I can identify without someone's help. I don't need to go to a psychic. I don't need to go. I don't need anybody. It's funny because I was actually going, well, my family and I have been going through quite an intense transition the last year. We decided to pick up and move, find a new homeschool pod for one of our kids. Like 2020 brought all of this up, right? How are we going to live differently? What are we going to do? And, certain, like you're saying, certain bodily sensations and stressors I've had for years, as I sat with and alchemized and midwifed myself through a lot of the pain, the stirrings that came up during this transition, literally those symptoms are gone. And I would also add that this is a big part of the feminine healing work versus the masculine, is when I was in more of the masculine, right? Like I was practicing power yoga every day and I was running 10Ks and I was doing all of these things.
Push.
Yes, push. And fine. Like if no judgment, if that's someone's journey right now, that's great. And I still love those things. I just want to share the evolution that's happened for some of us. The evolution that happened for me is that, you know, I would go do my run or do my yoga class or whatever, and you feel great. You're almost on this like high, right? But then my bodily symptoms would always come back, always. And then I'd have to go to the chiropractor. And then over the years, they became more intense. And there was one point when I was making really good money in my business, really good money. And I'm not even kidding you, Natalie, like because I had the funds to resource help, but I had such back tension. I had a massage therapist coming to my house every 2 weeks. I, you know, was plugging into, like it's a plugging in to all of these modalities. And Carolyn Mace talks about this, to fix me. Yeah. And then all the modalities stopped working. And that's when I had to stop and turn inside. So what I'm hearing you say is there's this spiritual maturation that happens when the feminine takes over. Yeah. And then initially it can be hard, but it gets easier. And in my example, it's gotten easier. We're able to hold ourselves through it better. We're able to, even my husband and I, we're able to establish ourselves as people who want to lead differently, which is hard in the times that we're in. We're able to do that.
That's very
feeling, like feeling safe, even though there's, it's so funny because there's so much unknown, but we know we're inherently safe. That's another quality of the feminine. Yeah. I find that you ground into. So there's so much juiciness that you said, but okay, a few questions I want to ask you. So I'm thinking of what I want to ask first. Okay. I have witnessed some people go through these hard times or terrible things, divorce, the loss of a child. I mean, oh my gosh, traumas, grief, whatever, right? I've seen people go through hard times and it seems to take them down, and they end up, I think if we're not careful, we can end up staying in that dark place forever, which we don't want, right? Or have you ever seen this? Like you said, when you had not developed your spiritual maturity yet, you were in this place of like, okay, this is harming me. This is happening to me. You can sink into being a victim or this constant shame spiral or bitterness. We see this even in like the online space. I mean, 2020 showed us how much we were all holding because everyone was just projecting the anger out. Nobody knew what to do with it. So it was all, and I was doing that too at times.
Yes. Yeah, so we all were.
We all were.
I was very angry during the pandemic.
Same. Cause we were all like, what do we do with this? Let's just throw it at each other. Okay. Right. That didn't work. Like,
I know.
So I guess I'm so inspired to talk about this because again, I know we can't save or fix people, but when someone is sinking into that place, I think it can just eat them alive. Yeah. Right? Like, what would you say to that person who's like in that place and they just can't get out?
So it's interesting because there is almost a fixation. So it's like within the healing space, people become so fixated on fixing. Yes. It's like, here's my wound. It's healing, but I'm going to pick at it again. keep picking at it because I want it to go away. I want it to go away. And they keep picking and picking. So they're reliving the experience or reliving it, right? And it's almost like they become the victim of something, but then they almost project that back out. So it's like this ping ponging, right? And they can't, they get stuck. They get stuck. And I've been there before. Like I noticed it even in my divorce that during the pandemic, I was so like, I have never experienced such isolation in my life. Like I was living by myself. We had an 8 p.m. curfew. I'm with a 3-year-old child by myself. I have no family support, which is why I moved back to Ontario. But it was like I was experiencing such isolation. And then when things started opening up, I was, you know, our nervous systems were all screwed up. But even my own, like going back out, and I'm like, oh, but I want to be a part of a community. I want to do this. But then I was self-perpetuating it because I was becoming the victim. So it's like, you can really self-perpetuate things that you have become victim of, but you don't even see yourself doing it because you're locked into, I'm the victim of it. I'm the victim of it. I'm the victim of it. Right. So for people who are really stuck in that space, it really can be a perspective shift, right? It is about acknowledging where you are, but you really have to take a step. If you're stuck looking in this one area and you keep re-perpetuating this unconsciously, done it a million times in a million different scenarios, you really have to feel that fear and step over here and look at it from this angle. It really is a perspective shift. Mm-hmm. And that perspective shift is really hard to make because it's like belief. Really, really tough. Mm-hmm. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Did you have someone kind of call you out on it when you were,
when I was in it?
Yeah. Cause I did, right? Like when I was projecting my anger out instead of facing it, right? I was working with a therapist for a little bit, and she also had a spiritual side to her. Thank gosh. So she was really able to work with me effectively. And I had lost a sibling to suicide a few years ago that really started my like unraveling into the feminine, I would say. And so I initially signed on to work with her, cause my grief was so thick, but then I kept going back because she was bringing this perspective to the feminine that I was curious about. And a few times she would just call me on it and say, if you keep projecting that out, it's just going to spiral and come back, which is kind of what I heard you say. It's like, keep going back and scratching the wound. And I was like, and that's where I think people get stuck in that, the bitterness or the victim. It's a spiral.
It is. And then it's like you project it. And like, I'm always going to explain it in the energetics. You're mentally projecting something, but your emotions, your repressed emotions are magnetizing the situation back. So it's like, whoosh, like it's like this cyclical thing that you're stuck in. It's a loop.
Yeah. And so how did you cut through it? Cause like my therapist called me on it.
Yeah.
And a big part of our work together was forgiveness. It was the teachings of A Course in Miracles. And she was like, do you want to keep doing this? And I'm bawling going, no. And I had to really forgive all the anger inside, all the anger really from my feminine ancestry line, all the anger. I didn't realize I started to sit in meditation every day and I would feel the pain of my mother, my grandmother, who didn't have opportunity, who, you know, had certain horrible things happen to them, but they weren't allowed to feel because they would get in trouble. Yeah. They weren't allowed to express. And I think this is what a lot of us women came to do, is break that cycle. So that was my process. Like I had to get inside and feel it and punch my pillow and cry and even give it to the earth. Give it to God, give it to like, take it. It got actually really kind of feisty and raw for me. So I'm just curious what that looked like for you. Hi, everyone. I wanted to pause the show for a moment to tell you about my upcoming 5-day Telegram course. It's called Reclaiming the Feminine Artist, within. I'm so excited to share this with you and walk you through this course. I was gauging interest for a little bit via my Instagram channels, and it seems like the coherence is there and women are excited about this. And so you can find the link below the podcast here. It's bit.ly/reclaiming the feminine. That's for the live course. And we start July 10th, Monday, July the 10th. If you happen to be listening to this podcast a little bit later, there's also a recorded version. And for the recorded version, you can go to bit.ly/reclaiming the feminine artist within. And that's also linked up below for you. So here's what I want to tell you about the course. Over the course of 5 days, whether you're in the Telegram group or you're watching the recording via my website, what we're going to be doing is exploring a topic every day. And then there's going to be a little homework assignment. The reason I created this course is because I noticed women who are business owners, creators, women who have a very strong sense of integrity and their internal value system is strong. However, their success on paper has perhaps never truly matched up to that internal alignment. And the truth is, the times that we're in are changing rapidly. There are so many old ways of being and old ways of thinking and old thought paradigms in business and leadership that are dying off. And really, women everywhere are returning to a balanced connection between their masculine qualities and their feminine qualities. And that feminine within them, the feminine that resides in their body, because remember, if we're going to unlock another layer of our expression, if we're going to finally start to express who we are and share our wisdom and our heart, we have to come down and into the body. We're not going to figure it out through hacking our mind or searching for the next idea or waiting around for that idea to come through if we feel like we're not truly in alignment with our highest dharma. Those are all the old, more masculine paradigms that I'm talking about, that for many women, it's just not going to work. What we have to do instead is come down and into our body. And so that's what we're doing in the course. I'm going to take you through a deeper exploration of your body where you can slow down, reconnect inside, tune into some of the wisdom that's going to flow up from your womb, your sacral chakra, flow up towards the heart. It's a flowing up as opposed to a constant reaching outward. Do you feel the difference there? And so during the 5 days, I'm not only going to give you tools to bring deeper awareness into your body and into your feminine expression, but you're going to leave with a remembrance and an activation of your power from deep inside your sacral chakra, deep inside your body, and a remembrance that this is where true success and sustainability comes from, is when we stop reaching outside or reaching up for ideas or even reaching to past lineages or teachers that maybe we have gripped onto. There's a season for that, but this is for women who are ready to deepen into their maturity and their femininity. It's a reclaiming of your wisdom and your medicine and your gifts that you are here to share with the world in this lifetime. And so we're going to talk about all of this, and you are going to leave this course, and it's completely free, by the way. There's so much juiciness packed into the 5 days. You are going to leave with a completely new activation and a confidence in who you're here to be next. The times for confusion and overwhelm and sort of jumping back and forth between some of these old patterns and leadership paradigms that I spoke about, and then these new patterns that we can feel are there, but we're not quite sure how to activate them. It's time. It's time to step into the activation of your maturity and your rooted, grounded feminine. So join us in the course. Again, bit.ly/reclaiming the feminine for the live course, and then bit.ly/reclaiming the feminine artist within for the recording. The recording will not be up, by the way, until the live course is over. So join us for the live course if there is still time.
So for me, I'll be really honest, like it was a psilocybin journey, a high dose psilocybin journey.
Okay.
And it was a very profound experience for me. I did it once. Will I do it again? Absolutely. Not anytime soon. I think it can be very helpful.
Yeah.
But it was a trip. Like it was a high dose journey, blindfolded for 5 hours with a very beautiful practitioner. And so that was an experience for me that I felt kind of, I could see all these different angles of like, oh shit. Right.
It helped you shift out of the circular thing, and you were
certain
like,
certain loops, like neural pathways get kind of like how you get stuck, you know,
right.
it becomes like these automated ways in which you do things. Mm-hmm. It really shifted me out of that.
Okay.
However, it was that, but it was the integration work after.
Totally.
Like, it's not the golden pill that everybody thinks it is. It's like, mm-hmm. you have to do the work after. So it was me reintegrating it. And yeah, there was a lot of depth there where I couldn't see myself because I was so locked into this experience that I'm like, I'm feeling this way, but I can't quite get out of it.
Right.
And we all get stuck there. Right.
Totally.
And so for me, that was that one experience. And then for integration, like I do a lot of somatic nervous system work with myself.
Tell me about that.
So I do, do you know anything about polyvagal theory?
No.
Oh, okay. So polyvagal theory is, I did like a 6 month dive with Deb Dana, and it's really understanding how our nervous system is like this own little entity that it's experiencing, basically picking up on so much energy and has a very different interpretation of what's happening in our body. So really understanding that a lot of what I'm experiencing is the nervous system imprinting, like basically historical data or information that I've experienced in this life, but also many, many other lives, like ancestral trauma being imprinted on our DNA. It shows up in our nervous system. We walk into a room, we look around, our conscious mind is like, oh, it's safe in here. Our nervous system's like, no, it's not. And it's just having this like dysregulated experience. So for me, coming out of the pandemic, like, yes, the really beautiful journey, psilocybin journey, helped me kind of see myself in different ways, but it was the nervous system training that I had to engage with myself through like breath work, vagal toning, but also really understanding that my body's having this experience and there's a story attached to it, right? So am I going into the story all the time? Story, story, story. And I'm like, nope, I got to come back to my body and really, you know, like you said earlier, getting in touch with those feelings in your body by allowing yourself to feel. That is, mm-hmm. I will say it is probably where I do the most work with people. People don't know how to feel. That's a feminine trait. It's chaotic. When you go into the emotional body and allow yourself to feel for the first time, people are like, oh my God, because they're so used to intellectualizing everything. Mm-hmm. Right. So feeling for me, like that was a big part of my journey through the pandemic, was like feeling, moving, breathing, like smashing pillows, screaming, allowing myself to feel the depth of whatever my emotional body is telling me. And that's so freeing for your, it's like, don't you feel that? Like when you can actually like feel yourself.
But also like the connection to what happens to the symptoms in your body, when you can actually, it's not just feeling, but it's feeling to completion.
Yeah. Moving
and getting
it.
To some of those, like, again, back to St. Teresa of Avila and her book, Journey Through the Interior Castle, the words, it's coming to me now, the title, because she says it's seven layers to get into the soul. So years ago, when I used to go on yoga retreats and stuff, I would have certain breakthroughs and I would cry a little bit and grieve my childhood, it was like the first and second layer. I had no idea that midlife, like as I approach 40, I'm like, oh, I'm on like layer 5 and 6 now. And this is fucking intense. Yeah. Like, yeah. But I can tell you that, certain things I've noticed, like I said earlier, my back pain has dissolved, right? Mm-hmm. I don't need massages now twice a month. I don't need to go to the chiropractor once every 2 or 3 months. And the other thing that happened is my cycle, my moon cycle. So I started to experience, after having kids, you know, more intensity. And I think this is a sign of deep feminine alchemy happening around ovulation. And the days before my period, I would get knocked out. Like I would have to lie horizontal. I would feel sadness, grief, rage, whatever. And the more I ignored it, the more intense it would become. And as I started doing the work to purge and alchemize, mm-hmm. now it's like 80% better. And there's a coach on Instagram I follow. I can't remember her name right now, but she speaks to this. And she says, as women, if we're not, especially in the sensitive times that we're in, where the veil is thin, if you're not feeling during those times in your moon cycle, it's all going to come up and eventually it's going to like really get backed up. And if you don't deal with it, when you get to menopause, it's going to be brutal. And I'm like, I don't want it to be brutal. So I'm going to deal with it now. Yeah. Has any of that happened to you?
Well, it's funny because that's what I focused on for so many years as a health coach. I was working on women's
hormones. You did hormonal stuff.
I did hormonal stuff because I had screwed up hormones. I was told I'd never have a baby. And I'm like, fuck that. No, I will. Anyway, so I went that route. But what I came to understand, even in where my trauma always surfaced, luteal phase.
Mm.
Where did I have my panic attacks? Luteal phase.
Where Tell people what that is if they don't know.
Luteal phase is like the 10 days before you bleed, right?
Okay.
So that's typically your premenstrual phase. I was diagnosed with PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, where I wouldn't have like physical symptoms, all emotional.
Yeah.
And that's where life would be good outside of that phase. But as soon as that phase, so it's like the hormonal shifts in my body, it's like, oh yeah, here comes all your surging of repressed emotions, trauma. It's going to happen now, and you are going to get knocked down. So it was my body's way. And this, I love the way our body is so, so wise and intelligent, whether it's a physical ailment or like through your cycle, there's so much information. And for me, after getting in touch with that trauma and actually surrendering and accepting to feelings in my body, guess what? I don't have anymore. PMS.
Mm.
Right. Or PMDD, which was the extreme version of that. So yeah, I've had a lot of, I remember I even taught a corporate workshop on like the seasons and how women should be working within their cycle.
Yeah.
Right. And the energetics of it. I taught it once, but yeah, I love that we're cyclical beings and we ebb and flow and just kind of, yeah. But if you are not connected to your emotions and what's previously happened to you, and you're just kind of like a neck up kind of person, it will show up in your cycles. That's like, mm-hmm. for me, it was really, really big, mm-hmm. and loud. Oh my God.
I know you're raising a son and I'm raising three girls. And I just like, even though shifting into the feminine or honoring these dark night of the soul moments can be so hard, I'm so grateful that I've held myself through it. And this is where I think hopefully we can inspire people to maybe even anchor into like a why or a deeper purpose here. Yeah. And for me, that is, I can now teach my girls about this, right? Like there are days when I know how to like stretch them or guide them towards something academically or whatever. But then there's times when I can feel, okay, hold on. She needs a bath to go clear her energy, or
yeah.
It's spring, so we're going to do this at this time, or we're going to honor our feminine by doing this. And if I hadn't held myself through this, I wouldn't be able to do that as a mom, you know? So like, what are you inspired to do with your kid, or how has this helped you even in parenting?
Oh my God. Like, I don't even, if I had a child,
let's just ball.
Like seriously, like if I feel like same thing. I feel so grateful that when I see him having, you know, a very big emotional experience, I can guide him through that. Like yeah. I can, like it happened 2 days ago. He threw a massive fit and like literally he was playing with my harmonica and I said no to something and he threw the harmonica across the room. Just like, and he's like big, strong boy energy, which is, he can be intense. And I'm like, oh, okay. So normally me 10 years ago, I would have flipped, right? And resisted it. I picked it up and like sat with him. And, you know, I always say like, I have strong boundaries. I'm like, look, you can be mad. You can be angry. You can say, mommy, I'm really mad, but you cannot throw things and hurt people. Yeah. That's absolutely not allowed. Mm-hmm. So I talked with him and then I said, you're holding a lot of anger in your body. Let's shake it out. So I got him up and I said, okay, this is what I want you to do when you're angry, like stand up, shake it out, take the pillow and say, I'm mad, and just mm-hmm. express it. And he got to move that through his body. Mm-hmm. And then literally 30 seconds later, he was a little angel, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, like for me, I feel so grateful that I'm not perfect, but mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he has the opportunity to feel that. We back in the day, the parenting paradigm was totally different. We didn't get that opportunity. We had to stuff it down.
Right.
And for me, I'm so grateful that I get to see him move through that without judgment. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One more question just on when someone goes through this dark time, right? And they're really, they're in the allowing of it. How do you recover? Well, I guess this is a two-part question. Do you think that there's various levels of intensity? Because I feel like I went through a super intense dark night of the soul. Yeah. I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, where I had hyperemesis in my third pregnancy, which is a condition where you throw up for 9 months. Like I was throwing up the whole time.
I remember I was like, oh,
it was so, but about halfway through, I had this moment where I was like, oh my God, this is an initiation. I knew my body's purging, my baby's helping me purge. Yeah. And so I actually accepted it, which it was still terrible, but it made it a little bit easier.
You can ride
it a little bit better.
You almost go like limp and let your body move through it versus like resistance.
Yes. And sometimes it's like, I'm afraid to talk about the intensity of it because I don't want to scare women. Like I don't want to scare them that. So I'm wondering, do you think there has to be various levels to intensity and purging, but a common thread that I've noticed within myself and other women is that you kind of have to recover the body after such an intense initiation, because it can take a little bit of a hit, right? Like, how do you calm the nervous system, reset that integration phase you talked about, but specifically with the body, is there anything that you had to do
to heal? Cause your physical body does take a beating.
It takes a little bit of a beating, and people 100%. Might not want to hear that. Right. Cause they want everything to stay perfect and beautiful, but
great.
Yeah.
No, it's painful.
Yeah.
It's interesting because everybody has such a different experience of how that comes through in that initiation. Some people it's very like emotional and psychological more, right?
Yes. Yes.
For other people, it can be like actual illness in the body saying, we're going to take you here to get you to the depths, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very situational. It's very different for people, but for the physical body, do you like for that?
Yeah. Like I had to for me, I had to slow down. I had to take lots of baths. Like water was very cleansing, salt baths. Yes. I had to return to a very deeply nourishing diet. Like this was not about restricting at all.
No.
Like that kind of stuff. Right.
So, yeah. So I think it's really different for everybody, but if it was for me, I'll go on my situation because like I guide women and what's unique for them. Like for me, it is 100% slowing down. It is, is like, I always give myself, not restriction. I have lived a life of like detoxes and cleanses and things like, and I still do those, but in more in a supportive, it's about nourishing, grounding foods for me. Yeah. Like I need more meat. I need like fatty foods. Like you have to think about the energetics of food. If you're overwhelmed, you want to eat grounding, like wholesome in your body foods. Baths, detox baths, like really supportive ones. But I think the biggest thing when you go through something like a dark night of the soul moment, and it's really affecting your physical body. I mean, it's always going to affect your physical body because it's all interconnected. It's the rest. Like as a society, like nobody knows how to rest, like actually just like clear your day. Like maybe lay on the couch,
take a nap. I'm the nap queen. This is so, I've just committed to being real about my journey on the show here. And for about 2 years, I was taking so many naps. And I remember thinking, is this ever going to pass? And it has passed. And now it's more just, I guess, I know when to honor it when I need it, but my body needed a lot of rest. Yeah.
I noticed right now. And I think, cause I just moved back to Ontario to be with my family like only 6 months ago, and moves are very, you know, consciously I'm like, oh, I'm good, but my body's just like, oh my God. So
yeah,
the level of napping and resting that I'm doing right now, I always like to remind people, like when you give yourself rest, you have to think of like those deep layers of exhaustion that you have been running rampant your whole entire life because society is just so amped up. Like you're catching up.
Yep.
Years. I always call it like,
yes,
I need a three year nap. I need to nap like Sleeping Beauty or something. Just be like, I need a 3 year nap to reset my nervous system. And especially what we just went through, like I would say when you go through the dark night of the soul, it is, you have to slow down in order to speed things up. If you desire to get to a certain place, like the hustle, the push, that's dead. That is not, like, we're not working in that format anymore. You can't. It is like, what does my body need right now? Not what I think I should be doing, but what does my body need right now? Needs slowness, nourishment. And this is something that I see the majority of people super challenged with. It's like relearning a new way to live. Like being in touch with like your intuition and like this like slowness and listening. And what I need today is not going to be the same as what I needed tomorrow. And that changes. And you have, and that's the feminine. That's like being in the flow. Like on Tuesday, I was horizontal. Like I was just like, I'm so exhausted. I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to take a lot of naps. I took two naps on Wednesday, yesterday.
Was that the full moon? I was out.
Oh yeah. I'm always tired. Yeah. Right? And it's, I always say, I'm like, George is going to have a little bit of meltdown because it's full moon. I'm just like waiting for it. But yeah, yesterday, new energy. I feel different. Mm-hmm. I have to pay attention to every single moment of how I feel and roll with that. Doesn't mean you can't plan anything, but it's just being in touch with those ebbs and flows within us, I think, is probably the most important thing right now.
I had my friend Nadine on the show. She's That Green Glow on Instagram. And
okay. I'm going to go follow all these people in this podcast.
Okay, you will love her episode as well, because we spoke to a lot of this.
Yeah.
But she was saying when women are in the masculine, typically more in the masculine, let's say, so it's unbalanced or the feminine has yet to really been activated, they're mostly running on cortisol and adrenaline. So yeah. Right.
That's like my whole entire life. It's like,
I know, but you don't see it when you don't see it. And so when they come off of that, she says, is when you need to like nap for 3 years because you just burned yourself out and then your hormones are anyways.
Yeah.
She brought a really cool perspective to it as well. We're all saying the same thing, just from a different story, right? Okay. Just one or two more questions as we finish up here. You talk about how the days of the guru are dead. Tell me what you mean by this.
So just like you said, as you kind of come more into yourself, like this whole idea that I have all the answers for you, it's the same frame of like the man in the white coat in like allopathic medicine. I have all the answers for you. I have all the power. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in the healer. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in the psychic. It's the same template regurgitated. And people are so hyper dependent on that. You create codependency. And this is where I think we're moving into a completely new paradigm, because it's like bringing people back to themselves. Like, when I work with people, they're like, I think they have this idea that I'm going to give them I'm like, I'm not giving you any answers. I'm like, I can if I want to, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. You're going to find your own answers. And that's like, it's a path that has to be done within.
Yeah.
And I think that we're seeing this. The guru is just another, it's like a redirection of like the priest telling you what to do, or does that make sense? So for me, it's like what you were saying, like all these different modalities can be really helpful. But for me in my work, I want to teach you, you are your own modality. Like you have all these answers within yourself. I want to teach you how to go back to yourself. I don't want you to come back to me. I want you to go back to yourself continually.
Right.
And that is, I feel like there's a more of a shift in that movement. I'm starting to see a lot more, like even for me, I don't even like the title healer anymore. I went with it for so long and
doesn't resonate.
No, I don't want, because I don't heal you.
Right.
I don't do that for you. You do that.
Right.
Yeah. And I know that for you in your spiritual maturation, like that, it's true. Like I don't see the the amount of practitioners that I used to see. Like it was codependency to make me feel safe. Like, am I doing the right thing? Like, it was, again, outside of myself to always validate, am I right? Am I right? I don't trust myself. Can you tell me?
100%. And here's where I see it going now, because right, I'm a part of a priestess community now, and people could perhaps say, well, isn't that like, are you going to someone else as a teacher? Does that have the guru framework? No, it doesn't.
No.
In my maturation process, instead of going to see someone where like they are my teacher, it has now moved to they are my community. We are on this awakening together. And for example, in the priestess lineage, we meet every month and we come together and it's almost like woman church. We're like singing together, we're honoring together, we're exploring this cycle of the moon that's happening. We're sharing what's coming up for us. There's a little bit of guidance, but it's more of a space holding, like you're saying, when you shift out of the masculine and you go more into the feminine, it's more of a container that allows an individual's own alchemical process to naturally occur without a guru to have to like force it. And this is such a paradigm shift for people who are coaches, leaders, paradigm shifters, because no one wants to burn out anymore trying to put too much energy into it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
right? It has to be sustainable. And so I think, yes, the guru is dead. And this doesn't mean, of course, that, you know,
you still need guidance. Like that's
totally.
You don't just,
you're just not codependent. Like you're saying, it's not.
Yeah. And I mean, I run a group program that teaches women to come back to themselves and understanding their own energy through their own subjective experience. I'm not projecting you have to do it this way. I'm giving you the container and the learning to understand yourself.
Same. Right? Yeah.
And that, like, I'm not teaching you, you know, how to do Reiki on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use a modality. You do you. And that is, like you said, like, as soon as I said, you know, I don't go to practitioners as much anymore, it doesn't mean that what I'm doing, I'm not a guru in my experience. And what you're going to isn't like you're intently listening to and hanging on to every word. It is a space for you to explore the self, which I think that, you know, like the coaching industry, there is an exhaustion there for sure.
I look at going to other people too now differently, where it's a gift to myself instead of a codependent relationship. Like this winter I said to my husband, you know, I would really love to go to St. Anne's Spa, which is one of the top spas in Ontario. Have you been?
I've not, but I know.
It's super rad. And there's a vibe there. There's a vibe. It's known for just, it's a container. Like you walk in and you can feel it and you can get Reiki there. You can get Thai massage. You can get regular massage. They've got the cold plunging, the hot tubs, all of the things. The food's pretty good. It's pretty nourishing. Anyways, it was such a treat for me to go and receive another person's gifts and another person's touch or whatever it is, and to give myself that, to sit and receive and restore, and also to create space for myself, where I was away from my kids for a little bit and all the business ideas for this year was, you know, coming through and all of that. But it's such a different vibe and intention when you're not going to be fixed. And when you go in with that different intention, oftentimes too, if there is something that needs tuning up, like they'll go there, they'll support the natural process you're already holding yourself through.
That your body needs, they're supporting your body in the way that it needs to be held. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's just so different. It's so different. It's been so rad having this conversation with you. It's just,
I know. it's the same. Like I always like, intentionality is everything. Like it's, am I going to somebody to fix me? If I'm showing up, I'm taking all my suitcases and I'm like, here, take all my shit and make it go away.
Yeah.
That's never going to help you.
Yeah.
Right, we're showing up as a treat. That's like, I mean, I still get, you know, Reiki and massage, not not out of a necessity to fix me, but as like a supportive tool, the way to like, it feels really lovely and supportive. Not like fix me, I'm broken.
Right. So tell us, just as we finish up, tell us what you're up to now. I know there's a signature. Is it a course or a program you're running right now?
Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit about you and where we can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at Instagram. I am Natalie Dick. And then you can go to my website. I have my kind of signature program. It's a group program and it's continual. So it's a 4-month journey with 6 months in the container. So you can actually move through the content at your own pace. And it is called the Energy Play Embodied Multidimensional Experience. And it's really a journey of getting women to deeply connect to the body.
The 3D body. Yes. We have to go in the 3D body. It's not, do you find that too? Let me ask you this. Cause I think too, over the last few years, the spiritual community has kind of become obsessed with this idea. Like it's all up there. Like let's connect to the 5D. Let's go.
Okay. And I'm, I love
right?
This.
It's like this so like, funny. I'm like, wait, this is, hold on, hold this is my, up.
This is my biggest teaching because you can, if you don't understand what's happening in your own body, right? Your physical body, your etheric body, which is your blueprint, your emotional body, your nervous system, and you just go out into the ethers,
you're misaligned.
Well, it's kind of bypassing because you're like, I want to experience. Like when people are like, I want to meet my spirit guide and I want to meet my angel team. They're beautifully supportive. And I mean, I'm with my guides like all the time, but I'm also in my body. And I always give this analogy that like with this visual that the physical body is the anchor to this human experience, right? The soul is like the boat or the cargo ship up here, right? There's a lot of information up here about you, but you have to understand the body and bring all that information through the body and understand, because that's where discernment comes from.
Right.
If you don't know yourself, don't go floating out in the ethers and experiencing all these interdimensional beings, which are very powerful and hold a lot of energy, and you can become flooded, right? So that's a big part of my process, is bringing you back to your physical body, your emotions, regulating with your nervous system. And then when you can feel yourself through your body, this is where your body is like an amazing technology, right? When you can understand the uniqueness of you, your soul is in the body, right? It's not separate. It's here. It's right here. It's not always up here. So a lot of my, the program is really a journey back to self through the body and how can I understand energy? How can I understand energy outside of myself? But I have to know myself first. And that's for me, incredibly important. So yeah.
I just feel called to share one more thing on that too, is another thing the priestess path taught me is that the masculine is more vertical, and it's like, it's very powerful to have this vertical connection to our higher mind, whether you call that God or these beings, if you talk to angels or spirit guides or whatever, that's beautiful. However, the feminine is our connection to the earth, and it comes up through, like, it's literally our connection in this physical body on this earth plane right now. And in the priestess lineage, we talk about entering into empty presence and the womb of silence. And at first I was like, what the fuck is the womb of silence? Okay. But again, it's like this, it's this really beautiful distinction where truth like flows up and becomes you, like you become this embodiment of feminine truth, as opposed to like you speaking your truth. Like you can connect at any point if you're open enough to these beautiful beings in the ethers, right? and receive downloads or information or whatnot. But there's also another power, and we are, many of us, very disconnected from the feminine, and we don't know that there is this feminine power that flows up through our womb. And so when I went through this experience in the priestess temple, where we were exploring one of the archetypes of the divine feminine, and the intention was this whole month to embody this womb of silence. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to share this story. And the whole month, all I literally felt was silence. Like my mind was like off. And this was the container these women were holding for us. Again, it was no guru. This is how you do it. In fact, they didn't really give instructions. They basically explained this archetype and how it might show up for you. And for about 3 weeks, I was walking around with such peace of mind, because I'm a Gemini and I can connect very easily to my mind, to God, to all of these beautiful beings. And all of that was shut off. And so I was kind of freaked out. I was like, this is weird. But then it was this like flowing up, this very like Gnostic experience of inner knowing with respect to a few different things that were happening in my life with my business, and specifically with my husband's business, because he's launching a business right now. And my mind had all these ideas, like the masculine had all these ideas on how we were going to plan out his business. But then I surrendered to the feminine, and it all started coming up. I was like, we got to change everything. Feminine was like, no, this is, consider this. And so, I shouldn't say change everything, because some of those ideas were good. But again, I think like in the times that we're in, if we're too far in that masculine and we're missing that embodied experience, this is where we could get into a little turbulence. So I think what you're doing is so amazing. We're so similar.
Yeah. And it's so funny, because I feel like we are doing the same thing, but just a different expression.
Totally. And different life experience, different lineage of teaching. It's the same thing though.
Yeah. But it's interesting going back to that, like the body piece, like the mind, it's, you know, the universe is of the mind. It's like infinite in capacity, but it's like, you can go anywhere. You'll get lost and manipulated. I've been there.
Yes.
I see it all the time. Like, because the mind is so, like, it's attached to the quantum field. It's like anything is possible, right? Mm-hmm. It's greatly used for manifestation, but if you can magnetize in the body, that's like a completely different experience. And when you, when you're so in touch with what's happening here, like more in the heart space, like you're really allowing these to be a little bit more coherent. Mm-hmm. It's softer and it's more beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a course I want to launch eventually called Earth Money. I just feel like the timing isn't right yet, but it's literally all about earning money from the feminine.
Oh, and
yeah. Maybe I can have you on as a guest teacher or something, because it's a totally different resonance and a totally different way of attracting the manifestation, all of that. Because you're right, it has mostly all been taught from the masculine. So there's so much we could talk about. We could do a part two one time, but thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was like actually amazing to actually just hang out and chat.
Yes.
Really, we have so much to talk about. So much.
Everyone go check out Natalie on Instagram and her website. And thanks again. We'll see everyone on the next one.
Thank you.